the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you once called John the Baptist to give witness to the coming of your Son and to prepare his way. Grant us, your people, the wisdom to see your purpose today and the openness to hear your will, that we may witness to Christ's coming and so prepare his way. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We will listen first to the choir anthem before the reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build upon ancient ruins. They shall rise up the former devastations. They shall repair ruined cities, the devastators of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and they will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offsprings among all peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people who the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with garlands, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up among all nations, before all nations. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 126 responsibly. When the Lord restores the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was there a mouth with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. Those who sow with tears shall reap the shouts of joy. For those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering the sheaves. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, will be forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 1st chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" "Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are neither the prophet, the Messiah, or Elijah?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
If you would take your bulletin in hand again and take a look at the psalm that we read in alternating verses with Ned. If you'd look at that, look at the bold print, and just quickly read again the words that you prayed. See a theme there? Now read the first verse at the top of that page, verse 10 there at the top of that page. And now turn the page and read the first sentence of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians that's printed there. See the theme? What is this Sunday about? Rejoicing, right. This is the third Sunday of Advent. Now for your Latin lesson today, in the old days of the church when church people spoke Latin and days of the church liturgical year were all given Latin titles, this was Gaudete Sunday. The word means rejoice, rejoicing, celebrating. That's why Betty lit the pink candle. Wasn't that she got confused. That's on purpose. That's why the bold girls are wearing pink today. Maybe the church thinks that pink is more of a rejoicing color than purple or blue. But on this Sunday, on Gaudete Sunday, we celebrate in pink because it's rejoicing. Well, what are we supposed to be rejoicing about? What does this Sunday tell us to rejoice concerning? The prophet Isaiah announces the coming of one who is bringing freedom, liberty, comfort, healing, the proclamation of good news. Well, this is something to rejoice about. And then John the Baptist comes and announces that the one who is coming is the light of the world. Does anyone know what the very first recorded words of God are? The book of Genesis, the first chapter, about the third verse, we get the first set of quotations in the Bible. And God said, "Let there be light." The very first words, we have a few people who knew that. On Christmas Eve, we will hear the gospel proclaimed, or the reading from the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those who live in deep darkness, a light has shone." Well, what happened? What's happened to our world since that Christmas day when the light came into the world? It seems that God's light and joy and rejoicing has dimmed some. In the time of history for those 2,000 years, it seems that that light has turned to darkness. Our world doesn't seem quite so bright, does it? But for all of the reality of the darkness in our world, God seems to keep saying to us, "Let there be more light." You know, when you come to understand something that someone's trying to explain to you, when you finally get it, you say, "Oh, I see. I've seen the light. Now I know." And when we keep a secret from someone, we say we're trying to keep them in the dark. You don't want them to see the light. And when you meet somebody who's not quite as clever, not quite as quick as you are, you say, "Yeah, well, she's a little bit of a dim bulb," or "She's not the brightest light on the tree." We use that image of light and darkness. We also talk about another kind of darkness, a darkness not a physical darkness, but a darkness of mood or spirit. When someone's pessimistic or lacks hope, we might call them doom and gloom kind of person. And we tell them to lighten up. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians starts out, "Rejoice always." And he says, "In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God." Be happy. Be grateful at all times. This is constant in God's grace. And it's God's will to bring us out of the darkness, to bring us up from our sadness, to lighten us, to brighten us. God seems to be saying, "Let there be more light." But the reality is that we all have hard times. And we cry out, "Why me? Why is this going on?" Well, God doesn't ignore our feelings. God knows the reality of our situations. But even in the darkness of our own situations, God is inviting us and always inviting us to see the light. Let there be light. Let there be some light, sometime. God is encouraging and inviting and asking us to see the light. Now, there's another kind of darkness, blindness, really. We can be blind even though we have 20/20 vision. It's the kind of blindness that comes when we treat the people around us as if we didn't even see them. Maybe we become too familiar and we don't recognize the importance of people or family or friends, coworkers who are around us. Familiarity we've become so used to that we don't even see them anymore. We become blind to them. In the field of architecture and interior design, they use this phrase called house blindness. And they talk about those architectural things that are, well, maybe we just call them ugly, design or something. But once you've lived in the house for a few years, you just get used to that odd door that opens backwards. And we don't even notice that pile of newspapers right inside the front door of the house because it's been there so long, we don't even notice that this is kind of messy. To someone who's never seen it before, they walk in and note that's the first thing they see. But we have become so used to it, house blindness. We don't see what we have become accustomed to. And we sometimes need to have a new set of eyes to point out those things that we have become too accustomed. Maybe we just need a time away so that when we come back, we bring those things into focus. We might be more aware of this kind of blindness when our friends move away, or our office staff changes, or a dear friend dies. We realize that our eyes have cleared up, and we had been blind to those situations, to those people. God keeps saying to us, let there be more light. Advent, this season of expectation, we are looking out, watching out, looking ahead. Have you ever noticed that this is true? That you see what you expect? You don't see what you don't want to see? Advent is an opportunity for us to fine-tune our expectations, to tune up our expectations, our spiritual expectations. We can be blinded by what we see or what we don't want to see. John the Baptist, the voice, the pointer, didn't want anyone to be blind to the truth of who he was and what he was up to. Some people missed the truth because they were looking for a different kind of light. We know later on, when Jesus comes on the scene, that same thing happened. Some people, perhaps you and I, don't get the light. Perhaps we are still in the dark because we want the Messiah to be in our image. We want God to act according to our plan. Maybe if the prophet Isaiah had known John the Evangelist, who wrote this gospel, he would have said an additional line in his poetry. He would have said, make the way straight, smooth the path, and turn on the light so we can see clearly. Make straight the way of the Lord. God seems to keep on saying, let there be more light. We are waiting for the light, for Jesus to shine on us, to take off our blinders that keep us walking in ignorance and in sadness and in distrust. Jesus is the light, and we are invited to bask in that light. As the light draws us closer, we can see ourselves more clearly. Jesus always wants to come closer to us, to be the light in our darkness, and to help us to see ourselves in a new light. So don't lurk around in the shadows, but let that light shine on you so that you can see your own gifts and your own graces, to count your blessings, to be able to see clearly those good things that God has given you. And when we allow that light to come closer to us, we might see some things that we don't want to see. Our sins, our failings, our failures. But the light is embracing, not accusing. The light is grace, not punishment. The light in which we were created shines out for us and recreates us. This is the good news. This is a cause for rejoicing. This is a reason to wear pink and light pink candles and call this Gaudete Sunday, to rejoice and celebrate that God is the light of the world. God keeps on saying, let there be more light. This light that has come so that we don't have to be in the darkness. And we can see clearly ourselves and each other and God. The light has come to reveal the truth to us and calls out for us to see what the bright idea that God has about us and for us. And at our own baptism, we were invited to live in this light. We were invited to enter into a conspiracy with God. Now, okay, another Latin lesson. The word conspiracy, it brings up, first of all, the idea of fearsome people sitting together plotting disasters, sending advance men looking for targets. We think of co-conspirators in bribery schemes and in politics and in giant corporations. But the Latin word conspire, con means with, spiritus means to breathe. So to conspire is to breathe with. We are invited in our baptism to conspire with God, to breathe with God. The story of John the Baptist is a holy conspiracy. Now, conspiracy theories whirl around this strange man who comes in the wilderness spouting poetry from Isaiah and sort of not answering the question, who are you and what are you up to? No wonder the authorities interrogate him and end up putting him into prison. Later on, Jesus quotes this same poetry when he is asked, who are you and what are you up to? The breath of the Holy Spirit fills Jesus and empowers him to free the prisoners, to bring healing and comfort, to proclaim the good news. The Holy Spirit and Jesus conspire and bring light to our world. We get into this conspiracy in our baptism when we are invited to enter into the light and to reflect that light for others to see. There's no sleeper cells here. We are invited to be living cells that breathe with hope and courage, that sing and pray, that feed the hungry, that feast on this meal. We are invited to be conspirators with God. We are invited to reflect the light who is Jesus Christ and to practice the mercy of God. The mercy of God that is love and forgiveness. And then we can subvert all of those evil conspiracies in the world. God keeps on saying, let there be more light. Bring light into our world. God keeps saying, turn on the light. Rejoice. Let that Lord of light, who is Jesus Christ, come into your life ever more clearly, ever more brightly. Indeed, rejoice, for the Lord of light is coming. Amen.
Thank you.